in my heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand.
Hi, I'm Dr. Al Arnold, senior pastor of Abundant Life Church in Nacogdoches.
And his word,
it's been a year of holding on to the promises of God, hoping, believing, and moving by faith in God's word.
Lift up our
it is with bold faith and divine audacity that I would like to take this time personally to invite you to the church and the hospital center. My wife, Brooklyn, Lisa Harris, and this event will take place on Friday, September 7th, 2020, at 7 o'clock. At the Abundant Life Church, 618 Ben Drive in Nacogdoches. This year we are so excited. Our special guest will be none other than Bishop Paul S. Mackenzie, the International Presiding Bishop of the Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship International, and Senior Pastor Chairman of the Generation Full Gospel Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Bishop Martin is an international preacher, teacher, and psalmist, and will be right with us in the city of Nacogdoches.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Would you stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? Gospel chapter 1, beginning Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this earth, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband,
come on, help me, said,
not willing to make her.
Whatever you're doing in this season, please don't.
You gotta tell them for yourself. You gotta tell them for yourself.
Don't do it.
The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name.
But the song simply says,
may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of God's word.
Let God. Just I need you to sit down for a moment. I just want you to hear the word.
Verse 20.
Let go, let go, and let God, let go, let go, and let God, oh, let go, let go, oh, let God, let go, oh, let go, and let God, let go.
Word. Whatever else you get in this story and whatever else you find in the text, one of the things that is reassuring for the believer is that God's word is real, it's rich, it's reassuring, and it always will be fulfilled as God himself has spoken it. There are things in this life that we deal with, that we have questions with, that we have issues with, but as a believer, it should never ever be with the word of God. This story has so many remarkable ramifications. No matter how many times I've preached it, I've never preached it from the same viewpoint, because the word is alive, it is pregnant, it yet gives birth to new meaning, new revelation, new understanding. And so here in this story, as I went over it in my prayer time and study time, one of the things that literally leaped from the pages of Holy Writ was this, that you really can believe God's word even when other things seem to be unbelievable. Amen. I want you to go back through the story, and if at all possible, if you're a woman, put yourself in Mary's position, and if you're a man, put yourself in Joseph's position. And I want you to see how you would, in your own heart and mind, deal with the issues. And regardless of what side you're on, there's some pretty remarkable issues to deal with. But I want you to know that in spite of us, there is also another party who is always going to have the first and the last word. And he gives us a choice in the middle, and that position is to believe him or not believe him. Look at what the word says again in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, and we spoke on in Bible study that the word espoused actually meant the legal term of marriage. At this point in time, Joseph and Mary were legally married by way of a bill or a contract. The ceremony had not taken place, but it was in that time in the Eastern culture that people, when they were espoused, they came together, they set the terms and all of the things that would be a part of the marital contract, and they signed the contract, thus making them bound to each other. They were legally married at that point, though the ceremony itself had not begun. Most times in the contract, the wedding would take place any time between the time of the signing of the contract and 1 year later. So anywhere between the time of the signing of the contract and 1 year later, they knew the marriage was going to take place. But for all practical purposes, they were legally married, which meant then that they were already given to each other. At that point, though the ceremony had never taken place, if Joseph were going to get rid of Mary, he really had to divorce her at that point, though he had never married her, nor had he ever consummated the marriage. So he still, because of the binding contract or the signing of the license and the agreement, he was already married. So know in mind that he and Mary at this point are legally bound to each other. Now, though this state is a reality, Joseph finds out some things. The Bible says before they came together, before the marriage celebration and before the marriage consummation, he found out that Mary was pregnant. Now, put yourself in Joseph's position and note now that the license had already been signed and that he thought he was getting a virgin. And you've got to realize that there was never ever an example before them. So there was nothing that they could refer to in terms of another woman ever being in this position or another man ever being in this position. So therefore, in his own mind, he's trying to deal with the ramifications of this thing until later in the text, we're going to find out that there is an interesting revelation that comes to play. Now look here, if you will. The Bible says, verse 19, then Joseph, her what? Though they had never had the marriage ceremony, he was espoused to her and she to him, so they were legally married, so the word considers her his husband, her husband. Now look at what the word says. It says, being a just man. One translation says being a good man. Another translation says a man always doing the right thing. Now, women, you ought to pray for a just man. Because even though it appeared to be injustice done to him, he was a just man. And you've got to know that you can't always render evil for evil. You can't always look to get revenge when someone has done you wrong. But look at what the Bible says. Again, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, what does it mean he was not willing to make her a public example? Well, first of all, under the law of Moses, he had a right to kill her, to stone her. He had a legal right, though he had never touched her, though the marriage contract was binding, if she had had this relationship with another man and had become pregnant by another man, Joseph had the right not only to divorce her if that was his choice, but to stone her. And he didn't want to do either one of the things. But notice here, though he would have been put to a public shame, because the record is that they are espoused. Now, rightfully so, who do you think the folk would think the baby was for? Don't act all holy on me here. Now, they would have believed it was Joseph's baby, even though they had never had a marriage, nor had they had a consummation of the marriage. But folk would have been going around saying, no, she was pregnant before they got married. Now, Joseph would have been the one who would have been made the public example. But being a just man, knowing his heart was right, he said, no, I don't want her to go through that. I'm going to do this thing privately. I'm going to do this thing outside of the public opinion and the public's view. So look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, when did it happen? Who was it? I mean, he thought, don't act like you wouldn't think about it. How can I do this thing? I really love Mary. I know she's done me wrong, but I don't want to do her wrong. How can I handle this thing the best way where I can ease over this thing and get beyond this situation? He's thinking on all of these things and many others. The Bible says, behold, focus in now, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, identifying him, making sure he understands that this is a personal message here. Then it says something very interesting, thou son of David. He's from the lineage of David. And so he again has an important role in this process of Jesus' ministry and life. So listen again. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now listen at this. Now the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream and tells him, Joseph, listen, don't be afraid to take Mary your wife. She has not done you wrong. She has not betrayed you. She's not deceived you. The thing that has happened has come because God himself has caused her to become pregnant with God's child. Amen. Listen at this. The Bible says, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And if you've gone through the Christmas story, as we call it, you're going to see also that the customs and traditions of the Eastern country were very much a part of the narrative. And you're going to find out that the angel goes to Joseph, who's the head of the house. He's the man of the house. The responsibility for naming the children was always the man's responsibility. Now, though Jesus was not Joseph's biological son, though Joseph was married to Jesus' mother, Mary, though they had not actually had the ceremony at this point in time, nor had it been consummated, he still had the responsibility and the right as head of the household to name the child. So the angel goes to Joseph and tells Joseph, this baby is of the Holy Ghost. It is God's son. Your wife is still a virgin, but you must name this child Jesus. The responsibility of naming him is upon you. So notice here again that the word has said, for he shall save his people from their sins. Romans 5, 18 and 19 will bear witness to this. Verse 22 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the who?
The Lord.
This was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, saying, behold, a who?
Virgin.
A virgin shall be with child. Listen at this. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, if nothing else would have made sense out of this whole story, I want you to see how even if he couldn't believe Mary, and even if he couldn't believe circumstances, and even if he couldn't believe situations, when the angel came and spoke that God's word recorded, that thousands of years before this, God had already prearranged that a woman who would be a virgin would bear the Son of God. If it had not been prophesied, if it had not been pre-told, if it had not been pre-recorded, if it had not been spoken of God, it would have been difficult for Joseph to believe that such a thing could happen when before there was never ever a record or an example of that thing happening. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when there are things that just don't make sense happen in your life, and when there are things that you can't comprehend, you can't unfold, you can't seem to reason, if God says something in his word, no matter how senseless it may seem to you, you can believe God's word. God is not a man that he should lie, and God is able to back up everything he says. And when you can't believe nothing else or nobody else, you can always believe God's word. I think I need to tell somebody here today, there are some things going on in your life that you find difficult to believe, that you find difficult to accept, that you find difficult to deal with. But I've got news for you. If God has said it in his word, God is able to back it all the way up. He just needs some folk who will believe him. I've got news for you here, because here's what's interesting about it. God seeks to do some supernatural and divine things, some miraculous and unbelievable things, and he usually does it through ordinary folk, which makes it so extraordinary, because you can believe extraordinary things through extraordinary people, but when he does extraordinary things through ordinary people, you know it has to be a supernatural power working in the human perspective. All I'm trying to tell you is just keep on living, and God's going to do some things that's going to be hard to believe, and folk won't understand how they're going to materialize. But if God has said it in his word, he's got the power, the zeal, the spirit to back it up. If Joseph couldn't believe Mary, if Joseph couldn't believe himself, his own reasoning, his own thinking, his own ability to deduct syllogistically from cause to effect, if he couldn't believe any of those things, now he has the word of God. Now listen at this now. He's from the lineage of David. This whole situation interplays around the promise God made David, that his throne would be established forever. It had to come down through David's lineage and had to be a part of that which God had promised. And look at how wonderful God is and how supernaturally organized God is. even though he gives a supernatural seed, he puts it in a natural line and gives a man credit for something he didn't do. y'all ain't getting this. Joseph didn't have him, but he gave him all of the privileges of fatherhood as if he had him, and gave him and aligned him with his lineage so that God himself could make his, you know, God is so powerful, he can do whatever he want to do. Old folk used to say he could take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. Y'all don't catch that. He can do whatever he wants to do. However he wants to do, whenever he wants to, through whomever he chooses to do it, because he's sovereign. Listen at this, and I'm going to close this thing. The Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, verse 23, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now who is they? Because I need you to understand that the angel never told Joseph to call him Emmanuel. The angel told him to call his name Jesus. But he said the Hebrews, the Israelites, God's people, when they recognize what God has done, they, all of them, would call him Emmanuel. Because the Bible makes clear that is interpreted being God with us. And they recognized God in the form of his son was present to dwell and to deal with man in the earth realm. And what a privilege it was to have God's presence here on planet earth. And now yet what still a privilege it is that through this son that was here on planet earth gave and granted us access, that though he's gone back to heaven, we now have the privilege of going into the heavenlies by supernatural means to be in the presence of God now because of Jesus Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when the curtains were rent in two, when they were torn in the temple, it was not just a physical curtain in a physical temple, but it was to signify that what happened in the physical, as the curtain down here was split in half and torn apart, removing and taking away that middle partition that separated man from God, it signified on a spiritual level that there was no partition between God and man when Jesus himself stepped in to fill in the gap and to bring together God and man. God with us. That's what Jesus brought to us. Even though he's not here presently, what he has done is given us the opportunity now to be in the presence of God. And listen to what the word says. Bible says, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now, before he went to sleep, listen to this. He was figuring on how he was going to get rid of her. Before he lay down and closed his eyes, he was thinking, and so weary with trying to think this thing through, trying to process how could he get out of this situation without doing her the damage that he could have done her. How could he get out of it without damaging her reputation as best he could? How could he get out of it because he loved her so much, but because he was a righteous man, a just man, he did not want to be a part of that seemed to have been unjustly done to him. So he was trying to figure all this out before he went to sleep. But after he went to sleep, and the angel of the Lord brought the word of the Lord, and him believing the word of the Lord, because that's the only thing sometimes you can believe. I say that's the only thing sometimes you can believe. And when you've got the word of God to believe, you've got God to back up his word. So when he got God's word, then and only then was he able to see things a different way. And I've got news for you. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to be put in circumstances and situations that will not make no sense until God's word comes in. And when God's word comes in, then it's going to make all of the sense in the world. Sometimes you can be going through stuff you don't understand because you live right, you do right, you're a just person, and then an unjust thing to be done unto you. It seems like unjust people seem to come around you. Unjust things happen to you. Bad things start happening to good people, and you wonder why all this is happening till the word of the Lord come in. Sometimes you pay your tithe, you give your offerings, you try to be a blessing, and it seems like you're living from paycheck to paycheck. Then you've got a drug dealer on the other side in the neighborhood. Folk who don't even go to church seem like every time it turns around, they're being blessed, and you don't understand. They don't praise God. They don't live for God. They don't do for God, but it seems like they're getting blessed, and the worse your situation seems. But if you turn to Psalm 73, when the word of God comes in, it starts making sense, because the word explains that those folk who've gotten things the wrong way, it's like having their hands in slippery places. Though they have it now, they won't be able to hold on to it. You turn your Psalms back to Psalm 37, where it says, "Fret not thyself because of evil doers. If you keep on living, soon you're gonna see them cut off. But you can't do like them. You do good and dwell in the land, and verily you shall." See, sometimes things won't make sense until God's word step in. "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Sometimes you just gonna have to wait till you get a word from the Lord. Listen, all things work together for them who love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes you just gonna have to wait till you get a word from the Lord. And when you get a word, how many of you know he'll change the way you feel about a situation? When you get a word, he'll change the way you feel about a person. When you get a word, he'll change your condition. When Joseph got the word, it was all right with him. He woke on up, and instead of putting Mary away, he pulled Mary close and said, "Let's get married today." I wish I had a witness here, but I can't touch you until the Son of God comes through. I can't touch you until Jesus is born. And I'm here to tell you, on that glad day when Jesus was born, he named him Jesus. And after that, glory. I said, glory, glory, glory. Angels started shouting glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to men. Give God some praise today. You can believe God's word. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are today, my brother, my sister, God wants you to know, when you can't believe anybody or anything, you can believe God's word. Whoever you are, if God is speaking to you by his spirit, would you simply get up and say, "Lord, here I am. I hear you and I obey you. And I come just as I am." Because the Bible says that Jesus shall save his people from their sins. Romans 5, 8 and 19 so beautifully displays that. Whoever you are, the Lord knew who you would be in this service today, and he divinely ordered your footsteps to be here. You're not here by accident. God led you here today to tell you, you can believe his word. You can believe his word. Is there one who'll say, "Lord, I trust you. I believe you. I stand on your word today"? This is your time. This is your time. You may not have another chance. Next week may not be promised to you. There is no better opportunity than now.
because now was when God spoke. Now is that one. Saints are praying for you right now, standing in the gap for you right now. And may I say to you, my brother, my sister, that there are some things in your life that may be going on right now that God wanted you to understand. May not make sense to you, may not understand, may not comprehend, but you can believe his word. God is faithful. He won't put more on you than you can bear. He won't do that. But he's calling today. He's calling today. Will you come to him? This is our last appeal. This is our last appeal. Is that one? Is that one?